The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, September 11th, 2016.
Good morning, church. How are you? Before we begin our time of worship today, we want to be thankful for today is indeed the day the Lord has made. But it's also the 15th year since the 9/11 attacks. Let us observe a moment of silence in reflection and in memory and in reverence. For that day, I guess, when it came apparent to us, the mainland of the United States of America was vulnerable. And the loss of life that was experienced that day. A moment of silence, please. O gracious and loving God, 15 years ago today, we remember and we pray, seeking your guidance and comfort, your peace and presence. And now as we come to worship you, to praise you, to give you thanksgiving, to seek your will and grace in and for our lives. And Father, we would just ask that we turn our hearts to you, fresh and new, every day. May we truly worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb, come into his presence with singing, worship at the throne of God. Come into the Holy of Holies, enter by the blood of the Lamb. Come into his presence with singing, worship at the throne of God. By the blood of the Lamb, come into his presence with singing, worship at the throne of God. Come into the Holy of Holies, enter by the blood of the Lamb, come into his presence with singing, worship at the throne of God. Lifting holy
this morning's reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And if you care to read along, it can be located on page 850 in your pew Bible. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no acceptance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Garrett Morgan, thank you. What a blessing sharing those talents. Rob, thank you. Everybody else. Sue, thank you for putting these guys and working them through their paces. Well, how many of you have ever lost anything? Some of you are lying in church. I was serious with the kids. If I've ever said, "I'm going to put that up so I won't forget where I put it," I might as well throw it away. I mean, how many times have you went and bought something knowing you had it, only to come back a few days later when you didn't need it anymore to find it? How many times have you tripped over stuff, saw stuff, and just knew you had it, but when you needed it, it was gone? Carrie says it's the gremlins. They come and move it and stand back and laugh at you. Folks, I got news for you. I think she's right. Because if she's not right, I'm losing it really bad. Because I know that I lay something down and I come back and it's not there. And I know that's where I put it, but later I find that wasn't exactly where I put it. You know, but today's message is about lost and found. How many of you have ever been by a lost and found, especially at the high school or the junior high school? It's this great big long trough down by the wall. It's amazing what people lose. Have you ever looked in there? One shoe. You know, I'm going home. Yeah. It's amazing. Coats, jackets. I mean, I've never lost a coat. I'm sorry. If I've worn it, I've needed it. So I kept the, it's amazing. But it's always the stuff. You should look in that box. You might need something. Maybe you lost a size 12 left and there's a right in there. You know, I didn't say it would match, but you know what the heck. But you know, nothing's ever really lost though, is it? It may change a little bit, but every lock's got a key. And everything lost in the dark will be found in the light. Nothing's ever truly lost, is it? It changes, it's different. But it's still there. I know this about youth. How many of us feel like we've lost our youth? Answer the truth. You feel like you've lost it, but tell me the truth now for sure. Don't your brain lie to you sometimes and tell you you haven't? I mean, yeah, I've liked that old country song. "I'm good once as I ever was," you know. But it may take me longer to get over it. You know, it's just the way it is. So it isn't really lost. We've just kind of sort of learned the consequences are too much. So it's changed. It isn't lost. It's interesting in this text. Jesus starts it out, or Luke starts it out, and he introduces it this way. And all of the tax collectors and all of the sinners are coming out to hear Jesus. That must have been quite a crowd. All of the tax collectors, all of the sinners were coming out to hear Jesus. They were coming, but over in the corner was the Pharisees and the scribes. And they were doing their usual thing, wasn't they? Let's see. Oh my gosh. Do you see? He talks with them. Oh, and he eats with them. And they grumbled against Jesus. The man's got good ears. They're connected to God. He hears beyond the words. Picture the crowd. Tax collectors. Money changers, you know. Got it. Get that crowd. Religious elite. They are above sin. They sit enthroned in their temple high. Hey, Jesus looks at him and he begins to tell a parable. Which one of you, looking at them, if you lost a sheep, this is not a tender little lamb, by the way. This is a nasty, ugly 200-pound sheep. Okay? They're dumb as rocks. How many of you know this about sheep? When they start, they just go. You know, the bobbleheads just go. They'll fall off a cliff. Do you know why a shepherd's staff has a hook on it? To pull them out of holes. But they'll answer you. Not if you call them by name. If you get close to them and they're in distress, they get really, you can go, bah, and they'll answer you. Every time. By the way, those of you who have young kids and they want to go hide from you, don't ever call them by name and think they'll answer. They will not. But if you'll ask them, Johnson, are you hiding? They'll say, yes. Just an FYI. I'll tell you how I know that. They all come. And he says to them, if you lost a sheep, would you not go after it? And then he's going to sting them. He's going to zing them. He's going to zing them. These religious Pharisees, you know, they know the law. They're followers of the law. They've got the law down pat.
And by the way, he eats with sinners. Oh, my. Oh, and he even talks to them.
You know, sometimes we get so holy we're of no earthly value. We get so high up we forget we're a sinner too, saved by grace. We forget to eat with them and talk with them. I didn't say we had to get in the mud and wallow with them. I didn't say we had to go do drugs because they do, go get drunk because they did. I didn't say we have to go lie, cheat, and steal like they do just because they do to fit in. How about getting them out of the ditch instead of leaving them in it? How about setting a better example than getting down with them? You know what the book says, this book we Christians read? Argue with a fool and become a fool. Bring them out. He's going to zing them. In the Old Testament, we find the nation of Israel always grumbling against Moses. Yeah, we don't have anything but this manna that magically appears every day for us so that we can survive. We want meat to eat. Oh, Moses. So they get birds from heaven. I think it was chicken. No, it's actually not. But, you know, I'm a pastor. I like chicken. Do you, anybody else like chicken? I like it fried in grease. I'm a Southern boy. Bread it, cornmeal it, some pepper, and just stick that stuff down in the grease while it's hot. And drip it, shake it, and go to eating on it. That's the way it's good. A little burnt, too, you know, on the bottom of the pan. That's not making you hungry, but I'm starving to death. I'm about to start spitting. And they always grumbling against Jesus, always grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. And they were always grumbling against Moses because God didn't do what they wanted. You know, they were always, it isn't good enough. It isn't what we want. It isn't the Messiah we want. It isn't the Savior we want. You're not doing what we want, so they're grumbling against him. They didn't want him to go save the lost. They wanted him to set up a Roman coup. They wanted the Romans to fall. They wanted to become once again the powerful elite, respected and bowed down to by all the people. But Jesus, he wasn't doing it their way. He was ministering to these low-life tax collectors and sinners. But they grumbled against him. So he tells them this parable, who among you, Pharisees, wouldn't lose a sheep? And I'm sorry about the song. I'm about to tear a little something up. But wouldn't you not leave those 99 in the wilderness and go after the one? Wouldn't you? Wilderness, grumbling. Oh, to a Pharisee's ears, this don't sound so good so far. They've left them in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of punishment. The wilderness is a place where they don't have and they depend on. And it's not a place of safety for the sheep, is it? It's a place where the wolves can get to them and eat them up. Chew them up. And the shepherd's gone, so the sheep are in the wilderness. Read your book. It's there, isn't it? And he leaves them in the wilderness, and he goes out, and he finds this big, ugly sheep, dumb thing, that went out into the desert and got lost, and he picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, read your book, and he carries it home. He don't take it back to the 99. He takes this sheep home, I guess puts it in the living room. Folks, I had an accountant one time, and he died, and his son took over, Junior, Cliff Junior. I went to take my taxes to him, and he lived in a third-story apartment. I went in, knocked on the door, he opens the door, and there sits a 1200 Sportsdale Harley in his living room with the motor tore down. Third floor. I said, I'm not going to ask anything else. Here's my taxes. I don't want to know about a Harley on the third floor. If I'm downstairs and the oil's dripping on me at the kitchen table, I'll be upset. But I wasn't. So I guess he put that sheep in the living room, whatever. But he calls his friends to have a party. He invites in the stream. He invites everybody to rejoice over this one that was lost and that is now found. And all of heaven, notice it, rejoices. I want you to notice that rejoicing thing in this particular parable. It's a little different. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than of the 99 who will not, who have chosen to grumble against the Messiah. But notice, joy in heaven over the one sinner. If you've given your life back to God through Jesus Christ, you need to know that at some point when that happened, there was a party in the presence of God. You need to know that if we repent, all of heaven rejoices. Now comes the parable of the 10 coins, and I'm trying to hurry. Maybe. Does that make you feel better when I say that? Greg, does that make you feel better? Or do you know that I'm not telling? That's what I thought. One time somebody asked me, said, Pastor, why do you wear a watch? I said, to make it look good. So I'm going to put it over here. You know why I'm going to put it over here? It's bothering me, and I'm going to go over here. So now we got the parable of the 10 coins. I need to tell you about these 10 coins. They're not just any 10 coins. They're 10 lucky coins. No, they're not. They're 10 magical coins. No, they're not. But they are a wedding gift from her husband. In the Jewish tradition, when she got married, he got her dowry. They had to pay him to take her. I think that should still be. Until now that I'm rid of, wait a minute. We got one getting, never mind, I erased that. We got one getting married in October, and I don't want to have, anyway, if I don't pay never mind. Gary, we'll talk about this later. I just had an idea. So this is a wedding bonnet, a cap, a band. That was to celebrate their union as husband and wife. In that Jewish tradition, he would put the 10 coins, which represented their life together, plus 2, right? Which gave us 12. They represent him and her. 10 coins, 2 people, 12 tribes. Kind of getting the thing going on here. And if one of those coins came up missing, that means she had been unfaithful. Coins and tax collectors. Okay, I'm going to talk about tithing. Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway. 1 out of 10 equals what? Tithe, the 10%. God calls us as Christians to tithe, pray, witness. It's part of it. If you turn to page about 40 in your hymnal, you took a membership vow to support the church in some ways, and one of them was with tithing. Let me tell you a personal experience. It's about time for me to do this anyway. If you tithe 10%, if you tithe 10% for 1 year, here comes my money back guarantee. If you tithe 10% for 1 year with a free and loving heart, not expecting something in return, and God doesn't bless you in excess of it, and you don't notice that it doesn't even miss from your budget. If that isn't true, bring me your receipt from the church, and I'll give you your money back. And if I can't, Greg's chairperson of finance, I'll borrow the money from him. This is when Methodists get really quiet. I mean, and then they go home and say, well, all he does is talk about tithing once a year, you know? But it's here. It's part of it. You know, my experience of tithing is this. If I don't give it, it gets gone. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. If I don't give it, there will be something blow up that was unexpected. There will be a bill. There will be a repair. There's something that just sucks it right out of there, and usually a little extra. Or maybe I just noticed. Anyway, there's the message. But these coins are a message to these tax collectors and money changers and to those other sinners, those people out there in the world, because they valued that money more than anything else. And this woman is nervous. She lights a candle. She lights a light and she begins to rake her dirt floor because she has to find this before her husband gets home and notices there's a coin missing, and that'll mean she's been unfaithful in her relationship, her covenantal relationship with her husband. Do you get the picture here too? Unfaithful in that covenantal relationship with God, that call of God in our lives. And she finds it. Do you know what? It seems like some of the neighbors may have already noticed it missing. Maybe one of them pointed it out. Because what does she do when she finds it? She calls them and says, look, I've got it. See. Now shut up and don't tell anything to him. Yeah. They're all here.
Well, are you sure that's one of them? You could have got that from anywhere. Nope, I found it in the dirt in my living room. Did somebody see you find it? No, I was home alone. I haven't been anywhere to get one either. But they were a coin that would have been hard to come by because they actually matched. They were made for that purpose, and they were unique. And notice what this one says. It's a little different. Just so I tell you, verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Over that which is lost being found. As Christians, the way we come to that relationship with God is in humility and repentance. That which is lost. Folks, until we repent in the name of Jesus, we're lost. Until we repent in the name of Jesus, there's enmity between us and God. God says you're either for me or against me. Christ says that. But notice this one, and I like it. I like these two. All of heaven rejoices. You got that with the first one? But all this one. You got to have this one. Paul will later write in Hebrews, actually he wrote it before this, but he wrote in Hebrews in his letter to the church at the Hebrews, he said, and we are surrounded right now, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have finished their course of faith. Those who have loved Jesus and have gone on before us are around us. The angels didn't rejoice. Did you see that? There was rejoicing in the presence of angels. That's those who have gone on before us that rejoice over one lost sinner. Church, where have we found ourselves and our desire to see lost people saved? Have we forgotten that all of heaven rejoiced the day we gave our life to God through Christ? Do we have a burning desire to see others saved and no longer lost? Wesley said we should be in the ministry to the last, the least, and the lost. Have we forgotten that? Do we go out and eat with the publicans and sinners and become them? It isn't that society should influence the church. We shouldn't look like the world. Everything doesn't go inside these walls, so says God. We should be a light of hope and change, a light of truth and grace. We should be calling people from the brokenness that's out there to a place called sanctuary, not wallowing in the pit with them, but asking them to come. Did you know that God loves you? Do you know how many of the people in the world today don't believe that? Do you know how many women and young girls in the world today don't believe they're precious anymore? And do you know how many boys think that the only way they're precious is to be successful in relationships? Do you know the world has turned it inside out and upside down? It's lost. It's lost. It's become cool and expected instead of rejected and unaccepted to love and heal and to seek and to save. And to seek that repentance that renews us
and gives us fresh hope. We're called from among them to be peculiar people, set apart. While we're in this life, we're not part of it. We're just passing through. We're to be different and to speak a message of hope to a lost and dying world. We can't save them all because they won't all listen. Some don't think they've done anything wrong. How many times have you heard this phrase? And I've got to give you this one in closing. Why would a God of love and grace send somebody to hell? Ever heard that phrase? Ever heard it? This is yes. This is no. If you haven't heard that, you haven't been witnessing. Here's your response. Memorize it. Why would they choose hell over a loving God? Amen. Go to know we're not lost, that God is with us. May we go to share the news of hope with the world around us, that they can know peace with Christ, that they can know that He'll bring them from where they were, in whatever lost condition that is, to a joyous celebration, and that all of heaven will rejoice. And now may you go in the love and grace of Christ, and may it sustain you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
The preceding was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like copies of this message for friends or family, you may contact us at area code 307-362-5334. Our email address is rsfumc@hotmail.com. Visit our website at www.rsumc.org. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 8290. You are cordially invited to join us in worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.